Hello, you're listening to a Talking Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
Today's episode is a discussion podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into our community, answer some great questions from talk to our community members. I guess we're technically talking to them because they're asking questions and we're responding, so I don't know. Yeah. And then say goodbye. So that was the last couple weeks, I guess.
Doing all right.
Yeah.
How about you?
That was good. Got my Yoimiya. I actually won the 50-50 on Genshin Impact. Yes, it has finally happened. So, yeah.
I got my Yoimiya, too. She was actually one that I was absolutely going to go through.
You got two, didn't you?
I think I got a C1. I was very happy about that.
And after, like, what, 10 rolls after the first?
Yeah.
What? I've never done that. I beat the 50-50, so my next thing I have to accomplish in that game is to actually get a pre-non-pity character. I don't think it's gonna happen though.
Well, I technically got real lucky with my Ayaka pulls as well, and got a Mona, which is one that I was severely disappointed that I hadn't gotten yet as well. So,
yeah, I just realized that I built up her stuff to send her, but I never got the Whopper flower stuff to do. I'm actually out of Whopper stuff, the nectar stuff. So, I might do some nectar farming today just so I can finally ascend her to 90.
Yeah, I'm thinking that...
Because I'm on the same boat as you. I'm starting to go through and just see if I can get every character up to at least 70. At least 70.
Yeah, I'm thinking that I'm going to start working on talents, which is one thing that I've been kind of avoiding because domains. Domains, just... that's all you have to say is domains, and I think everybody knows the pain of that.
I used to like just do co-op just so I didn't have to bother with trying, but I'm okay with domains now.
The other thing,
hate domains because it gives me PTSD for all the crappy artifacts I get.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I despise domains in general.
At least with the talent stuff, you guarantee to get something.
The other thing, how are you feeling about the next two banners? What are you considering on that?
I really don't have any desire for them. I mean, I didn't have any desire for Ball. I know Ball, like, people went crazy because, I don't know, there's this weird step on me fetish thing that I just have never really gotten with. But after seeing how she works, I'm kind of curious of her. Like, she's very unique. I like the new characters because it seems like everything since Hu Tao seems to be, the five stars seem to be built around different things than damage per screenshot. And I like that. I don't want every character to be, let's hit a million damage by, you know, switching in all these damage boosts and stuff and then do one big boom that does a big damage. I like the consistent damage and the unique gameplays they're adding to these characters. Because, like, Ball, I'm sure somebody will figure out some way of making her do a lot of damage, but she seems to be more building up to a release that will be a consistent damage rather than a big boom. And I really do like that. Yoimiya was very not big boom. I guess you can... there's ways you can make Ayaka do big damage, but she, again, is very consistent damage, even though her ultimate just seems to go right past mobs.
I'm really stuck on it because Ball, I'm frustrated because if you go through past things, Archons are usually some of the strongest, most utilitarian characters. And so that's why I'm really, really kind of stuck on Ball. Kokomi, my only thing with her is literally if I buy her, it's purely for her aesthetic. Just like I did with Eula, I bought her strictly for her aesthetic. Her character story was kind of even more, was a nice icing on the cake on that, but because I really did fall in love with her. Kokomi is very similar in the fact of if I get her, it would be purely for her aesthetic and her character, not because of her play style. Because as it stands right now, unless they change something seriously, a pure healing character, which is really where she's kind of leaning right now.
Because she has negative crit.
Negative crit. So
I'm assuming when she was being tested, they realized that if she had crit, she was going to do a lot of damage. And so they decided to give her a negative. But it's so weird that that's never been in the game before, as a character that literally has a negative stat to prevent it from doing something. Which is really bizarre. I mean, even if she is OP, who cares? All these other characters that are 5 stars are mad OP, and they have no negative crit.
Supposedly,
you have characters that are doing over 1 million damage. You don't see them putting negative crit damage on them.
I didn't. I'm not going to go digging into the leaks and stuff like that, but supposedly, from what I'm understanding, is her, if you go into somewhere into one of her abilities made her HP stack onto the attack, and plus, and so people would just go and just make her completely crit, and so that would just compound her damage that she did, and they didn't like that, I'm assuming, and so they actually yanked that ability out and lowered her crit, which made it to where she is kind of on par with everybody else. But yeah, I don't know the exact mechanics. I didn't dig enough into the leaks to understand it. So.
And that leads me to two questions, because that negative crit aspect makes me not want to roll her, because, and this is the mentality they created, and I'm not saying this is my fault, and I don't think anybody for thinking this is their fault, because this is, again, the mentality they have created. If she technically was OP, who cares? There's all these other characters that are OP. Ganyu is mad OP. Hu Tao's OP. Even Tartaglia, they've been doing big numbers with him. If you create a character and they're doing a lot of damage, does it really matter in the end? I mean, what? You're going to be able to do a floor of Abyss a little bit easier? All the other characters do that. The problem that they're creating is that they're making her, forcing her into the role of healing. What thing in this game needs a healer?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Everything that they've built in this game has been about kill things really quickly. That's like the whole aspect. The only reason I use Zhongli is because I'm lazy. Technically, if I stopped being lazy, I would never use Zhongli, because I'd make a group of characters that'll just one-shot everything. If every event, every single... The Abyss is a prime example. The Abyss is literally kill things as fast as possible. Your star rating is based on killing things as fast as possible. That's why a long time ago, I gave up Noelle and all these other characters that I built around shielding and reducing damage. Because if you bring them into Abyss, yeah, there's people that make them super strong and kill things and they use it as a battery. But for the most part, all their content they built is around killing as fast as possible. And you don't really need to bring healers. You just dodge every 2 seconds. So it's like you're forcing her to be a healer, and that's never been the case before. Even like people make Barbara into a super OP character. It didn't change it back there. They didn't make her have negative crit. So why make this character a 5-star negative crit? It seems weird. Until they can show me that they're going to create content that's built around the idea of not just kill things as fast as possible, them gimping this character, again, I haven't looked into the leaks to find out why. Yeah, if it made her super mad OP, adjust her damage numbers, her percentages.
Well, they obviously did that with Ayaka, because everybody was insanely overhyped for her, and whatever they did really...
Yeah, she didn't live up to any of that hype. And technically, one of the big leaks that they left was the fact that you can see her underwear, and what they do? They nerfed her underwear. They made her OP ultimate... Her ultimate's good if you get a C. C3, I think it is. It makes it to where it's 3. But as it stands now, her single one, it's like I said before, you throw that at some guy, they'll either strife to the right or left so that it goes past them, or they'll fall over to the side and it just goes past them. It's like, wow, great character. I'm glad I don't really play her for ultimate. I just play her for other things, like doing dashes and then attacking with ice, so... I don't know, it's a letdown. I like the first banner just because those two have like interesting elements added to them that benefit the other characters. They're supports with unique aspects to them, not just throw down a thing and then everybody gets a buff. They're built around, you know, building on something or adding something to the other characters. Ball is just way weird with the fact that she's apparently, she helps others build their energy quicker. But with, yeah, with the other girl, I don't.
Sada would be a.
But the design
aesthetic is really. Aesthetic one as well, because I do like the Tengu wings and everything like that. That's kind of sick.
I do like that. But yeah, their character designs, I'm not really too interested, but I don't know. When they come around, everybody starts going, oh my gosh, you can do this with them, they're so OP. I'll consider it. At this point, I'm kind of sad that I didn't get Kazuha.
Yeah.
I kind of see a lot of videos of him, and he seems a lot of fun. Of course, he's similar to Xing Shao.
Edge Boy?
Yeah, the guy. Edge Boy, yeah. Spirit
Zhao.
Boy.
Zhao.
Yeah. He seems like a lot of fun. Kazuha seems like a lot of fun playing, but...
I think I would have more fun with Kazuha than Zhao.
I would.
Because I don't know that I would really like the shooting around thing.
It's also the damage thing. He technically just kind of kills himself, which I have enough difficulty working with Hu Tao. I've finally gotten used to her, but...
Hu Tao is one of those characters I would love as far as just fun and cutesy. I don't know that I would like to play her in her most OP. There's no way. I've never cared for the keep your health low on any game.
Mm-hmm.
And nevertheless on this one, which is always bordering on the edge of something will randomly one-shot you. So.
Yeah, that's the thing that I was laughing about before. Was like, it's similar to the whole situation where everything is kill things as fast as possible. The thing they really need to address, and I hope they address it with the fact that they're adding this character that is strictly a healer. There's no point to a healer, because I was joking to you the other day, they should just remove the health bar and just put hearts, because literally it feels like one guy hits you and it might do one heart, but most guys, they hit you and it's literally you're dead instantly. So it's like, well, just give me one heart, and then if I get hit once, I die. What's the point in having a health bar when I can't gauge that half the stuff hits you and it's one shot, you're dead?
It's so weird, especially with like the shield, like Zhongli's shield. It's like, you're that's literally a quarter of his health. And it's like, how is it that, because I can sit there and it, like Andrew was mentioning earlier of being kind of lazy with the whole, I only have Zhongli because of his shield, really is the only reason I use Zhongli. I'm trying to get, Diona up to where she can kind of, because I like Diona a lot better than Zhongli.
Yeah, girl, what do you expect?
But she is nowhere near. I mean, her shield, like his shield, where I'm at right now, and I still have a lot of building on him to go. His shield is near 10K, which is for most of my characters around half of their health. Why is it that a character, a bad guy can one shot me, but for whatever reason, his shield lasts forever? And technically, that's half their HP. So he should be knocking out at least half of their HP just to cover it. To his shield plus the half their HP.
Just reactions. Because like every now and then, if I get it like by some chance, like maybe I stepped on a pond as I go towards a fire mob, it's like suddenly out of nowhere, vaporize, and my character literally instantly dies. It's like, okay, don't let reactions happen to your characters, because it's instant death, basically. If it's not instant death, or it's like a, I don't know, an overload or something like that, electrical, because we're in an electrical area right now, it's like literally your character is just stunned to death. There's nothing you could do. Okay, character dead. All right, move on. It's frustrating how, I guess it's annoying when you get to that point where it just really feels like it's so one-sided one way or another sometimes. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, get good because all you gotta do is dodge. It's like, well, sometimes there's so much stuff that you literally can't dodge that many times. You have a limit to how many times you can dodge. And it just feels like sometimes, okay, I literally can't dodge anymore. You're wanting me to dodge 50 times. Ugh, it's frustrating. But I suck at the game. What do you expect? Like I said, I'm lazy. I don't play the game to be competitive. I'm not jumping on there and going, all right, let's get some gaming going on. I'm just usually kind of like laid back and going, okay, get my daily done.
Yeah, I was like, I was sitting there, I was considering on what would happen if I was to actually do a Twitch stream, and it was like, yeah, I would have to put in the tags like Filthy Casual or something like that, because there is no way I'm playing on the same level as some of these other people.
No backseating.
Yeah, other than that, I downloaded the DLC for Tsushima, but I haven't got a chance to mess with that yet, because I'm mostly trying to get caught up, because I just finally got fully caught up with Higurashi. Frustrated with that show, even though I love it to death. And I'm starting to get caught up on the other shows, and then I have to do Slime, so I'm probably going to still need a little bit more time. You've been playing Final Fantasy 13. That's crazy. That's the worst Final Fantasy ever, according to some people.
I never thought that. I'm having fun with it. I don't remember, and I said this to Andrew the other day. I know this is not the intro. I'm in like chapter 6. I previously had gotten to like chapter 11 or 12 or something like that.
And there's 18, so I think you're third. I think there's 18. Or was it 12? I don't remember.
And it's funny because I going through these few chapters, I'm like, I mentioned to Andrew, I'm like, I don't remember the intro being this long. I know it's not the intro, but it feels like it. Like, it feels like I'm still going through the first part of the game, and it's so weird the way it's structured.
You think it's because it's still teaching you stuff, or you think it's just because it feels too heavy narrative? Because it's always been a very heavy narrative game. It keeps holding you in a narrative.
That's very possible. I do remember a lot of the corridors. That's not the thing. It's like, it just feels like I haven't gotten to a point where it kind of opens up. And I guess that's really what it is it just doesn't feel like it's opened up. If you think back on like Final Fantasy VII, where you were in Midgar for the entire first disc, it felt like this is the intro to the game, and then once you got out of Midgar, okay, now I'm in the game.
Yeah, there's only one really open world area.
Right.
The rest is corridors. And that was always the big complaint everybody has. Once you get this point, it's great. It's like, well, no, it's just because it's an open area. It doesn't mean that it's technically gets good. It's just that's the area that you do a lot of the stuff in.
I don't necessarily have a problem with the corridor thing, so don't get me wrong on that. It's more along the lines of it just feels like I can't really kind of character build. Like, I can't sit here and start farming the bad guys.
That's a similar issue that I had to Final Fantasy IX. I mentioned that before. It was like, I really can't build my group around, like, these three people or something like that, because it always has you, okay, now we're jumping over here, and there's these two characters. Oh, they finally got them together. Now they're separated again. It's like, I can't, you know, let's build these characters up.
And I know that I didn't start really having... I don't want to say I didn't start having fun until Fang, but it really is kind of at that point. Is I remember once I got to Fang, I suddenly was able to start goofing off with my game, with the game. So it's one of those frustrating points of I'm at this frustrating place where I'm trying to push through. And at the same time, I'm getting frustrated because I know that eventually I'm going to get to some bad guys that are going to be so mad OP that it's going to be frustrating to beat my head against them. I've only unlocked, I want to say, two, maybe three Gestalts. So I want it to hurry up already.
I'm just waiting for him to get to the big roadblock that
I think I did last time. I think you said
the big huge owl thingy, or last time you played it.
Last time I played it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think you had said that. Yeah, I know that one. That one was a pain in the butt.
There was like the point which it's like literally tells you, okay, time to learn how to play the game and play it perfectly. And it's like it's like so not easy, but it's like it's not that difficult to get all the way to this one point. And this one point you get to this boss, and suddenly out of nowhere, okay, I'm getting the crap beat out of me, and now I have to figure out what the heck am I doing wrong. It was like such a huge roadblock that I got super mad at the game at that time. So I'm like, I'm just waiting for the controller to fly across the room there, because I'm like, oh, he finally got to that boss, eh? Very, very annoying boss. But that was technically when it started getting, like, the story itself got really interesting. I think the world and the characters in that game was one of the best things about that game. Even though everybody was hating it for the corridors and stuff, I'm like, I really enjoyed the world and the story and the characters and everything. So
if I remember right, I think I stopped playing at Alexander.
Mm.
So I had already beat the boss that you had mentioned, but Alexander was after that. So
I think because after that, you go to the other area where there's the open world area, I think. So I think you have to beat him in order to get to the big zone. So it makes sense. Yeah, that's fun. That's about it, though. I don't think there's really anything else that's been going on. Like I said, just getting caught up on stuff and creating content. I'm starting to try doing some news bits. Like, if I find something interesting in the news, I'll do videos on that. So hopefully people are enjoying those. I just did one today, which we'll cover later on, which is some ASMR-related stuff in anime. So that'll be interesting to discuss here. But it's been fun. Just trying new things. Something that's, I guess technically the big issue that I have with my videos is you have to consider that if I'm creating impressions on certain shows, only certain people are watching the show that care to hear the impressions on it. So to create something that's more kind of in the middle ground though, where everybody technically would want to watch, even if they're not into those shows, is something that I think hopefully will drive some more views. So we'll see how that goes. But as usual, I always appreciate people's support of us on that as well. So yeah, news. You ready?
We're not a Genshin Impact podcast, I promise.
Should probably put these at the later part. That's why I always put, like, I try to put time stamps so people can skip the stuff if they don't care about it. But people enjoy listening to us anyways. They're like, I don't have no clue what they're talking about, but damn, I love those guys. first bit of news we have is Ruihara Zurachi revealed on Twitter that What I Love About You manga is going to end in 5 chapters. The Japanese title is Fetchipuru. Fetchipuru? I guess is how you would pronounce it. Fetchipuru. Yunoki has not only found himself in bed with a woman he doesn't know, but she insists that they're already a couple. The woman, Kotoka Hatsushima, is a charming 23-year-old writer who has one heck of a back fetish. And Yunoki fit the bill. And when she tells Yunoki that it was her hair that sealed the deal for him, he realizes the truth. She knows him. She knows about his hair fetish. And she's absolutely right. He's mortified. But Kotoka sees reason if they float each other's boats and already know about each other's predilections. Why not start a relationship? And Yunoki can't argue with that. Thus, back hair hijinks ensues. That didn't really go the direction I thought it would. Okay, there you go. What I Love About You. Check that out. I guess that just means, anyways, that you can enjoy, I guess. Moving on. Fans of Danchigai. I think we are okay with Danchigai when they did anime of that one. if anybody went to the manga after watching the anime, the manga apparently is coming to an end on September 22nd. So, yeah. Look forward to that conclusion. Maybe he marries one of the sisters. We'll see. time for some ASMR, Chris. This is the fun bit that I thought was pretty great. I mentioned before I thought that first-person anime was going to become a thing. People laughed at me. We kept to it. One Room, Anatori EX, all those one first-person animes. It was going to become a thing eventually. But I did not expect that we would get a conclusion of first-person anime and ASMR.
I've been waiting for my ASMR anime for a while now, so now I will happily dip my toes into ASMR and find out what all this hype is about, and I will do it with my anime just, girls.
It's like, oh, there's a new trend happening in the internet. Psh, don't care. Oh, it's an anime now? Okay, I care now. I suddenly want to experience this ASMR that everybody keeps talking about. Yeah. ASMR is a weird thing. I've never technically, quote-unquote, experienced what people are going after with ASMR, but I do technically think it's interesting from a, I guess, erotic standpoint, I guess I understand.
I'm assuming it, because if you've had a partner at any point and they've licked on your ears, there is a tingling sensation. I'm assuming that's what they're going for, but sound does not produce that to me. So I don't know if that's the thing that's they're trying for.
Well, if you say that it doesn't produce that, and yet an entire thing is built around the concept of that, I'd assume that it does happen to some people.
I'm guessing.
I'm just making it clear that it is a thing, so assuming that it does technically happen. But I'd assume it's probably the similar thing. I don't know. Like I said, I've never really technically experienced that part of the ASMR. Like I said, I understand the other part of the ASMR, which is more like just, I guess, the intimacy that people would experience from that, and that feeling of being with somebody. I mean, technically watching a streamer who is talking into a stereo microphone that can give you rights and left channels, wearing headsets and getting that simulated experience is a thing. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I technically, for those people that don't know, ASMR concept with technically anime is already a thing, in that a lot of seiyus will do live performances where they will do ASMR jokes and stuff. Like, the one that I always think of is obviously Takahashi. Like, she does a lot of these things. They'll do like little skits, and they'll have to go over to this big dummy head that has two microphones, and she'll whisper in one ear or the other, acting like a character that she's played. So it's something they've done a lot. It's just they're technically finally going, hey, let's make this into an actual show. And it makes sense that it's a first-person anime where you are the character, similar to One Room, because what would you do with a stereo microphone except for have somebody put on a headset and have that first-person view to experience it? So it's interesting. I don't know that they'll technically do any kind of significant storytelling from all this, but it probably be some of those things where if you enjoy these seiyus, you're probably really going to like the concept. Or if you just want really cute girls talking in your ears, or cute women that they have in the show, I think it'll be interesting. I can technically use my headset for this. It'd be interesting to see what they end up pulling off with it. But the interesting thing that came from it is I went ahead and did a full video on this, so thankfully I have all the information for it already. But I was going to ask you first, who do these two characters remind you of? Just going on a limb here, what show recently do these characters remind you of?
The top of my head, I don't remember, so.
Really? Sayu? Higahiro? This doesn't remind you of Sayu from Higahiro? Big, huge forehead? But yeah, this actual character artist from Higahiro, I was rejected by it. I got rejected, so I shaved and took in a high school runaway.
Okay, gotcha.
Definitely getting the vibes from the sisters in their character designs for that. So, anyways. So, like I said, I think the interesting thing from this is that I think people that really enjoy certain seiyus are going to want to know if their favorite seiyus are technically in the show, because they'd probably want to have them whisper in their ears. So,
And that's exactly what I was thinking. I want to know who is the... I recognize the faces, obviously, but the character voice, I was wondering about.
Yeah, we have Shiori Mikami, who is known from Krista from Attack on Titan, as well as Akari from Yuri Yuri. We have Suzuko Mimori, who was known for Sora from Digimon Adventure Tri, Ophis from High School DxD, Umi from Love Live! School Idol Project, so I'm certain a lot of people are probably going to be super excited about that one, and Togo from Yuki Yuna as a hero. So, good stuff there. Azami Waki will be in as well. She did work for Kusue from Standing on a Million Lives, which is currently airing right now. Eddie from Anatori EX, which was like a personal favorite of mine from that show. Hinata from Tokyo Revengers, if you're currently watching that in the current season. As well as Special Week from Umamusume Pre-Derby. I'm sure they'll probably make maybe we get a Special Week reference. We have Kanae from Ito, or Kanae to Ito, who has been from Senna from Haganai, which... personal best girl for me for Hung and I. Ohana from Hanasaki Roha, which my favorite anime of all time. Yui from Sora Online. And Riko from Certain Magical Index and Railgun. Next one we have is Yu Serizawa, who is Shera from How Not to Summon Demon Lord, as well as Iroha from Real Girl or 3D Kanojo. Probably the biggest one that most people are probably super excited for is Aoi Koga, who is right now currently Aki Shino from Remake Our Life, but Kaguya. From Kaguya-sama Love is War. So.
And Paimon.
Paimon's like... I made an interesting reference in the idea that I'm curious. Do you think that they'll make the reference a kawaii koto? Think they'll do it?
I mean, they did it with Paimon. When you mentioned the special week, I can see that. I can also see probably a Sword Art Online reference, and I can also see that. Yeah, it would be silly for them not to, because that would be 99% of their... market value, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, it's like it's technically like Mega Man. Any Rie Takahashi, anything that she does has to have an explosion reference. It just has to. It's just they hire in and go, they go, can you do it? Do it. Can you do it? Please do it. And now, I ask you, if I wanted any guy to be whispering in my ear, who would it be?
I mean, who wouldn't want him? So
Kendra Suda's got it. He's got to be Kendra Suda. Unfortunately, he's not in this. Instead, what character in any anime do you think Angie would never,
who that was. Okay.
Never want to be in my game?
I wonder if he would do that.
I'd never want...
Would he do it?
Be in my ear. I don't want a man to be in my ear. I don't want it in my ear. But they decided that's who I want in my ear is Sho Hayami. So, yes, we're going to have Ichiya from Fairy Tail whispering in your ear, sweet nothings. Now, unfortunately, I don't really technically know if he's going to be doing ASMR in this. I'm assuming he will be. I mean, they have a male character. It's a stereo recorded thing. Obviously, he's going to be doing that. But, yeah, I guess if I – as long as I can somehow disconnect myself from Ichiya – and connect to his other role, which is Ferdinand from Ascendance of Bookworm, maybe it will feel better, because
I never put those two together.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, I know it was him, but I don't think I ever went Ichiya. I never thought of Ichiya when I was watching. I just knew that I like his voice. I really do. Unfortunately, with Ichiya, he's kind of just, I guess, I don't know, gave me PTSD or something. But I technically like him. But...
Well, we technically did come around on Ichiya,
yeah,
so it's not
true.
It's one of those goofy things.
We always made the joke that they just made more annoying characters, so I don't hate him as much. And plus, he wasn't as round as much, so I don't know. I'll probably enjoy him, but no, I do admit I would have liked, you know, some other Seiyus in here. It'd be fun if they just did like that kind of concept where they just continue this on and just bring in other Seiyus that people really like. I mean, yeah, having a Aoi Yuki ASMR would be very interesting. Having, you know, Rikajimia or Kendra Suda in one of these roles would be a lot of fun. So maybe they'll do more in the future. It's sad. It's technically one of those things where it seems like it's a lower type budget show, because these aren't really big name seiyus. I mean, maybe Aoi Koga technically here recently has been getting more popular, but none of these are really big seiyus that have a lot of big roles. So maybe in the future they can possibly bring in more that are more higher profile seiyus that I know a lot of people would enjoy to hear whisper sweet nothings in there. But at the same time, I there's got to be Aoi Yuki like ASMR skit shows out there somewhere. I got to look it up and see. That'd be funny. I have seen some videos of her, like, when she was younger and stuff. It was always kind of funny to try to see if I can hear her voice.
You know what's funny? I was thinking of this the other day. Do you remember what her first role that we caught? Not her first role, just the first one that put her on our map. Do you remember?
I think it was Clementine.
Clementine, yeah.
Because I got a huge kick out of that particular scene, and I end up actually having it, like, cut and put into our podcast one time, because I just, that performance, like, she was a villain character that will probably never be in the show again, and yet she was so impactful in that scene.
Yeah,
it blew me away how impactful that this random villain character was. So yeah,
And for anybody who was curious, Clementine from
Overlord. Yeah. So, good stuff, though. Looking forward to that one. The English title, again, is Can I Make Your Ears Happy in 180 Seconds? So, as that implies, it'll be a three-minute-long short series. Again, first-person perspective. So, interesting stuff. Definitely. We're always into the weird stuff that everybody else is going to be like, "What? Ew, gross." So, we'll cover it.
We kind of technically called this back when we were talking about Daki Makara. Makara no Danchi, yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Now we finally got our pillow girls.
Yeah, technically. Yeah, it's interesting. I think one of them is like a childhood friend that hears about you as the main character liking ASMR, so she gets a dummy microphone head so that she can start trying it. There's another friend of hers, I think. Then there's the older sister of your childhood friend. There's the mother of your childhood friend. And there's the two little sisters of your childhood friend, or maybe yours little sister. I don't remember which one it was. So they'll cover all the bases of archetypes, at least. Hopefully one of these is Sundari. None of them look visually Sundari, so that's the only concern that I have. Maybe the main girl will be Tsundere, and that's why she's doing
it. She's so kudere.
No, maybe she's doing this because she doesn't want to do it for you, Babaka. She's just doing it because she wants to do that ASMR thing, Babaka, not like she's doing it for you. Maybe? I can only hope. We need a Tsundere ASMR. It's needed.
No, I don't want to get punched while I'm getting my ASMR.
Well, technically, technically the other thing...
That sounded so wrong.
What was it, with Azumi Waki, she was Eri from Anatori, and Eri was the Tsundere character.
True.
And that would be, I think, that would be the, I think, the yellow-haired girl. Mm-hmm. She doesn't look visually Tsundere, though. I don't know. We'll see. I'm hoping, though. I'm crossing my fingers for some Tsundere in there. All right, moving on. Sunrise producer Hisakazu Naka has announced that at least half of the fourth Reconquista in G Gundam movie will feature new story materials. So that's interesting. It says asking fans to look forward to a different feeling from the original television anime. So I don't know. That's one of those troubling things to have that point in the storyline to have it finally kind of shift from just being a compilation film. So. Maybe it'll be easily jump in-able when that finally comes out. I'd probably want to start over from the beginning just so I can get kind of refreshed on things anyways. So cool stuff, though. I think they kind of mentioned that to begin with, that they were going to do some different storytelling with it and kind of flesh things out a little better, because it honestly wasn't that well fleshed out. I didn't get that much time to really flesh out the story. So, but I think that was like one of the first ones in a long time that was like a short, like a Gundam series, like not 50 episodes. So, it makes sense that they need to flesh some stuff out. So, interesting. Moving on, the official website for World's End Harem anime adaptation has posted a promo video that has a listed October debut. So, are you excited for that one, Chris?
Harem is all I had to hear.
I was watching the promo video, and I'm like, here's another one of those ones where we go, hey, Funimation, gonna help you out here. Don't bother with this one. Because, yeah, it looks like, they're going all out with this particular story. I mean, I'm guessing the story is about repopulating the world, so it technically makes sense. So, yeah, it's got all the makings to be something that, again, Funimation, don't bother. I guess at this point, Crunchyroll, don't bother anymore.
Yep.
The Mankiller virus, a lethal disease, has eradicated 99.9% of the world's male population. There you go. You're already setting up to be good. Reito has been in cryogenic sleep for the past 5 years, leaving behind Tachibana Erisa, the girl of his dreams. When Reito awakens from the deep freeze, he emerges into a sex-crazed new world where he himself is the planet's most precious resource. Reito and four other male studs are given lives of luxury and one simple mission: repopulate the world by impregnating as many women as possible. All Reito wants, however, is to find his beloved Erisa, who has went missing 3 years ago. Can Reito resist temptation and find his one true love?
No.
So there'll be a plot there. Well, at least it makes sense to what I'm seeing in the PV, where you have like, yeah, this one, these other guys are like, yeah, let's do it. So they're all like jumping in there. And then you see this blue haired main protagonist character that's, oh, don't touch me. Oh, oh, don't touch me. It's for the good of mankind, dude. You got to do it. Even if it's bad, you still got to do it. It's for the good of mankind. So, yeah. Again, please, anything related to Sony, don't bother. High Dive, go for it. Go for it, High Dive. We'll see, though. We'll see. But again, that's coming in fall, so people can look forward to that if that's something they're interested in. We have some good news from Sentai Filmworks, some great acquisitions that they have grabbed. I was kind of making the comment a while back about how, of course, we had Amazon happen. Amazon tried to get into the anime sphere. They did Anime Strike and made a bunch of license grabs. And the unfortunate thing that came from that is they all kind of died there. A lot of the shows didn't really get much of attention, even though there was several of them that we were really hype on. I mean, Made in Abyss was a huge one at the time. Cabinet of the Iron Fortress. A lot of these shows that people weren't really taking note of because, one, it was hiding somewhere in the pool of garbage that was in Amazon's streaming service, but also that you had to have a Prime account for an entire year. You had to get another subscription on top of that. But it really did feel like while Crunchyroll and Funimation were fighting over titles, it really did feel like High Dive was almost living off of grabbing a lot of these titles, which is fantastic. But they have continued that because they got both Iroduku, The World in Colors, which was, I thought, a really fantastic PA Works original title. They had a really, really cool ending to it that kind of made me get very emotional, which is always good from a series like that. But also, the other title they got from the Amazon's pit of no return is Yuki Yuna's a Hero, the Hero chapter and the Sumi chapter, which were two Yuki Yuna titles that kind of got lost there as well. So that's fantastic. Not only that, but they decided to grab the original first season of Yuki Yuna's a Hero, which was Ponycan that had that title. It was on Crunchyroll, but it was a Ponycan title. So unfortunately, a lot of people never got the physical copy of that because it was stupid expensive. I bought it because I loved Yuki Yuna's a Hero. But the cool thing about that means that for all those that didn't own the original ones, and for those of us that wanted the second season but never could get it because they never did a physical copy from Amazon, Sentai Filmworks will now be doing physical releases of all those two both releases, and everybody can grab them, including myself. The other cool thing is that they grabbed the third season, so that's great. So High Dive will have the third, the Great Mankai chapter, when that airs in spring, winter next year. Yeah, that's this year, because the only one I'm thinking of is Made in Abyss, which will be next year. So yeah, when that airs in fall, High Dive, at least High Dive, I'm not sure if they'll have it on any other platform. We're still trying to find out if High Dive's still going to have any kind of partnership with Crunchyroll and stuff to have them on their platforms. But I know eventually probably they won't be, but for now, that's just another kind of thing that giving High Dive a little bit of a boost there, which is fantastic. So I think I figured it out. There was like 48 titles total on the Amazon platform during that period of time, and all but 14 at this point have been licensed. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is that Recreator's not one of them. Somebody, please, Recreators and Love is Hard for Nataku. Those two seriously need to get picked up. The unfortunate thing is I think Recreators hasn't been touched by anybody because it's an Aniplex published title in Japan, so I'm guessing they probably can't touch it, and Aniplex is sitting on it. I hope somebody grabs it. It needs physical release because it's a really incredible series, but cool stuff there. I'm really happy to see a lot of those titles getting kind of another leg. Onihei, technically, was another one that hasn't technically been picked up. It's on Crunchyroll, but not physically releasing yet, so good stuff there. Please continue, Sentai Filmworks, get Recreators. And Inuyashiki is still not picked up as well. There's a lot of titles that still need to be saved, so we'll wait. The other stuff that they picked up is Drifting Dragon and Kakegurui, which are both Netflix titles, so that's kind of a surprise to see them grabbing Netflix titles. I'm guessing probably as those expire from Netflix and they're not doing anything with them. Girls on Panzer Das Film, the Das Final Films, which are part two and part three, they picked up. Shiki Zakura, Wacha Primaji, Fate Collide Liner, Prisma, Ilya, Lich Nameless Girl, which is the movie. They'll be doing that in theaters. Lupin the Third, Part 6 anime. And I think that's it. So, cool stuff there. Definitely fantastic. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Made in Abyss. That's kind of important. Yeah, the second season of Made in Abyss is also going to be on, is picked up by Sentai Filmworks. So that's another one that'll probably be a nice boost for High Dive next year as that is released. I'm looking forward to that one, definitely. So I haven't checked out High Dive's app in their browser player yet. I'm curious how they're doing with that stuff lately. I still need to check out the Goddess Dormitory, so maybe I'll find out how they're doing.
Let me know, because I keep trying to go in there and see if I can catch that, and it keeps popping up and saying it's not we're not subscribed yet. So,
well, yeah, you got to subscribe. That's right. And that's the problem. Somebody tweeted, was like, you know, you keep pushing this idea of supporting High Dive, but if you go there, they don't have an ad supported free version, and it's like, well, I can't say, you know, suck it up, go get another job so you can pay for a subscription with High Dive. It's one of those things where it's like, I can't say, and I'm planning on actually contacting them and, you know, letting them know that we're really kind of pushing to support them. If there's anything that we can do to help and anything they can provide to us to, you know, give to our listeners and stuff, maybe, you know, maybe some free subscription plans or something like that we can hand out. But it's one of those things where I know what the answer is going to be. They're not big enough to have an ad platform. You can't just go, okay, well, we're this new streaming service. Contact this company and get ads to throw on our videos. They have to show some sort of, you know, this is our build, and then we can get some ads to pull into it. Then they have to build an ad platform. It's not something that you can just throw up an ad and go, okay, now we're making money. It takes money and, you know, some sign that you have a large audience to build an ad platform. It just can't just throw up ads. That's like when we looked at Daisuke.net, they had ads, but they were small. But what were the ads? They were ads for their own products. That's all they could have ads for. It wasn't, and it was cool because for us, it's like, cool, ads that I care about, Gundam stuff and, you know, Gunpla and their apps and stuff. Is like, cool, I get ads that I actually like, oh, cool, this ad. The unfortunate thing is that you see the same ads over and over and over again, but it's an unfortunate thing. It's like, yeah, I would love them to have a free version that would people can support through ads, but I don't expect them as a smaller platform to be able to have ads. They're not that big yet that they can support themselves with ads. You have to have, like, the ad revenue that you get versus the audience that you would be hitting that have to equal the amount that you're going to be paid if you have them subscribe. That's economy. That's just basics in business. So, it's not me saying, you know, suck it up and get a subscription with them because we have to support them. It's a, yeah, the obvious common sense thing is when I say that, it's if you have the money for it, please support them. It's not, you know, don't eat for a week because you got to pay for this. No, you're not going to be eating for this. It's like not a coffee you're going to get in one morning for some people anyways. Anyways. That's that. I'm, again, excited for the platform of High Dive. Definitely looking to hope that this kind of stuff really does give them that surge they need. Definitely suggest people checking out a lot of these titles, especially, like I said, Iruduku. Getting another, you know, second win is fantastic. I think it deserves a lot more attention. Yukini is a hero. I'm always going to support people with that one. So, good stuff. Check that stuff out. Definitely thumbs up from me for Sentai Filmworks. For those fans of Evangelion and Hideaki Anno, apparently Amazon Prime has begun streaming the two-part documentary of Hideaki Anno and Hitoshi Matsumoto, The Fireside Chat. So if you want to see more insights into Hideaki Anno and Evangelion, definitely check that out. I'll be hopefully here soon getting a chance to look at that. And I've always enjoyed, especially, you know, like Miyazaki and stuff, looking at the development stuff, seeing how stressed out and angry they are about what they're doing. That was the thing. Is like, if I can give Miyazaki any credit, like, his documentaries are the best because it's always like just raw. Like, you know, he doesn't care if you see that he just hates something that he's dealing with or something. Whereas everything else is like inspirational. Look how hard they're working and how everybody's perfect and everybody's happy. No, Miyazaki's like, I hate this. And I bet Hideaki Anno is probably the same way.
I have this kind of vision of him throwing knives around the building and flipping over tables and stuff like that.
Sitting in a corner and with an old cassette headset stereo.
And then somebody gets it right and he goes,
finally got it. You finally got something. The other one's The Final Challenge of Evangelion. It's a title, so. Cool stuff. Always love those insights into the business, the biz. Some exciting news surrounding Evangelion as well is that Anime Limited has announced their details for its Neon Genesis Evangelion Ultimate Edition Blu-ray. So this one is going to be their full Blu-ray release of the titles. And unfortunately, I think it's already sold out. They said the pre-orders are for the Ultimate Edition, which will ship around December 6th. The Ultimate Edition release will also have 5,000 copies, one per customer, available for North America exclusively through G-Kids store at $275. And again, the set is currently sold out. So,
did you grab one?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have the disposable income. As much as I want the Blu-ray of it, I don't know that I really want to throw that much money into it, but it doesn't look like that cool.
$275.
That's what I mean. I was like, what are you going to have in there, a statue? It just doesn't look like the extras will include a 156-page book, including promotional posters and artwork, a glossary of Evangelion Eva units, and a timeline credit list and survey of 26 episode series. 26 episodes. 11 double-sided 12x12 art cards with replicas of artwork from the Japanese Laserdisc release. A limited edition resin paperweight model of on Satchel, the third angel, and the first angel featured in the series. A double-sided guest ID card of with the Nerve logo, 450 millimeter lanyard with a Magi Systems emergency indicator. Bonus on disc stuff include End of Evangelion Japanese Auditions, Genesis 00 in the beginning, an image board collection. A lot of information here. The Light of Darkness, a deleted live action scene of the final scene alternative take for the End of Evangelion music video. So, yeah, that's not really worth that $275, in my opinion. I'll just wait for the standard release. I still have my old big edition, so I'm still proud of that one. I don't need this one too. Like I said, I do want it on Blu-ray eventually, so.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking of, was the Blu-ray thing.
Eventually, hopefully we'll get a standard release. Cool stuff here. The official website for Record of Ragnarok has announced that they will be getting a second season. So there's my hope that I was looking for. I did have a lot of fun with the first season, and I was kind of hoping that they would have a second season, but apparently that is going to be. That's going to be a thing, so don't have information on when, but at least we know it's coming, so good stuff. Are you going to jump into it now, or are you going to wait for me to tell you if two seasons is enough? It's not going to be enough. It's probably going to be much longer than that. Cool stuff, though. For those fans of 86, including myself, they have a new promo video for the new season, and they've listed in October. They've confirmed the October premiere. We already knew it was going to come in fall, just not. You know, some stuff can happen in the meantime. So, yeah, can look forward to that. I'm not watching the promo. I don't know what's in it. I don't want to know. I want to go into it pre-blind. So, there you go. The Mushoku Tensei Jobless Reincarnation website has announced, or has at least confirmed its release date, which is October 3rd. So, again, that's another one confirming that they will indeed be in fall. And not only that, but we have an exact date. So, for those fans, including ourselves, look forward to October 3rd. Just counting down the days. I'm guessing the demon girl is going to get more involved now because it shows her in the key art laughing up on the top of the building. The demon that has literally the most jarring character design compared to everybody else. But she's a demon, I guess, so she can technically be looking however she wants, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excited?
Absolutely.
I'm definitely looking forward to this one.
For sure.
Had a lot of fun doing my weekly impressions on this one, so I'm looking forward to getting back with people on YouTube and and speculating on stuff to come and dodging spoilers from light novel readers. You're not helping. It's like they think they're helping. They're not helping. I don't want to know. But yeah. Good stuff there. Let's see here. Bo Ditama, who is the mangaka for the manga series Kiss Exis, has announced that it will be indeed ending in two chapters. So, big fans of the original source material of Kiss Exis, apparently it's finally coming to an end.
I was going
to
say, that's been around for years.
17 years he's been doing this SISCon garbage that is the stain of the world. I don't know. I'll stick with the anime. I do enjoy checking out Kiss Exis every now and then. It's a fun little watch. So there you go. Let's see here. Chiyu Maho no Machigata Sukai Kata light novel has been confirmed to getting an anime adaptation. The English title is How Not to Use Healing Magic Recovery Team Running Through the Battlefield. So another interesting, I don't know, it's an isekai. Isekai fantasy gags begins with an ordinary high school student. Usato happens to bump into student council president Suzune and classmate Kazuki on his way home. All three is suddenly swallowed up by magic circle and transported to another world. The trio are summoned as heroes to save the kingdom from Demon King's army. But only Suzune and Kazuki have what it takes to be heroes. Usato just happens to be dragged along for the ride, of course. However, things turn around when Usato is discovered to have a rare knowledge of healing of a healing mage. He is abducted by a woman who identifies herself as Rose, the leader of the life-saving corps, and drafted into her ranks. Interesting. So I'm guessing that means that he's isekai with two other girls. They are actual, or I don't know if he said two girls, just two other people. Those two are heroes, but he's just a healer. So, I guess that makes sense. Interesting. We always enjoy isekais. So, that'll be interesting to see how that one turns out. Another one that's got an anime adaptation confirmed is Ningen Fushin no Bokensha Tachi ga Sekai o Suku yo Desu. This one is adventurers who lost faith in people will apparently save the world. That's always a nice concept.
They're like, what's the point?
And gave up on the world, but you're the ones that have to save it. Story begins with Nick, who was part of a battle-tested adventure party, as banished by his leader, whom he looked up to as a father. Nick was falsely accused for embezzlement, despite supporting his Slovan companions with funds and knowledge. He is even dumped by his lover. However, Nick ends up in a tavern, sharing the table with the daughter of formerly noble family and an excommunicated priest and a female dragon warrior. The other three are also adventurers who have lost faith in people after being betrayed by someone. Nick and the others consider joining forces, uniting their distrust for any of anyone else. Thus, they form their own adventure party to survive.
This sounds great.
Sounds like a nice band of people. I like the character designs. Really good. So there you go. It's interesting news. Heavy Object apparently is coming to an ending. The Heavy Object light novel has been listed on Amazon as having its end with the 20th volume. So that's another one that I kind of wish it has more adaptation. So interesting. Shout Factory and 11 Arts has announced that they will be releasing Shirobako the movie on Blu-ray and DVD about freaking time. It'll be a combo, Blu-ray DVD combo. And they're going to release it on October 26th, so we can finally watch the movie, because it's been stuck in theaters for the last... How long has that been? It's like a long time ago when that was first released. Over a year ago in Japan that was released. Really? Jeez. Been waiting a long time for that one. Another interesting stuff from High Dive. They have begun streaming the live-action School Live miniseries, so... I'll definitely probably check that one as well when I get that running and look into it.
Yeah, that is one that I would like to see how they pull that off.
Probably terribly, like every other live action Japanese show, but we'll see. It's not gonna dog on it yet. I just got Dodd and Doggin on Netflix for how they handle live action adaptations. But they also announced at the same time they have gotten Magical Sight on their streaming service as well. So for all those that care, there's that. I feel like an extremely dark magical girl. Magical Sight's gotcha. Definitely gotcha. That was one that I don't think he even touched with a thin foot pole, I think.
I think
I let you know what happened in the first episode, and you're like, nah, that's all right.
No, it seems like I watched the first episode.
Where the main character literally almost gets sexually assaulted like 3 times in a row.
When I seen where it was going, I very quickly turned it off. But yeah. Yeah. It seems like I watched
it. It had a cool concept. The main thing in that whole thing was that you could... I think it was, if I remember correctly, their magical ability was attached to their specific item that they get, and that item bestows them with the power. So, I mean, the creepy thing that comes in with it really quickly is this guy literally gets a pair of panties, and he has to wear them in order to use his ability. But the idea is, like, you can technically take somebody's power if you stole that from them. And so, it was a cool concept to give to it. Just extremely dark at the same time. Extremely dark. Anyways, let's see. Princess Connect Redive second season has finally had its reveal for its debut date, which is in January. So super excited for that one to come back. I really love the first season. The animation was incredible. The comedy was great. So I'm definitely looking forward to that one. It's like one of those mobile adaptations done right. I think when it stick with comedy, it works pretty well. So The Genius Prince's Guide to Raising a Nation Out of Debt TV anime has had a confirmation on its debut, which will be in January. So another isekai build a nation type of show. Looking forward to that one.
Yep.
The official YouTube channel for Fuji TV's Noitamina anime block has announced that a sequel novel for the Tatami Galaxy is getting an anime. So big fans of Tatami Galaxy, which I unfortunately have not watched yet, and it's on my shame list that I need to check out. But I'm sure fans of Tatami Galaxy will be excited to see a sequel coming. So, cool. This one's interesting, because we've talked about this. And, of course, the unfortunate passing of Kentaro Miura, who is the Berserk creator. The big question mark that obviously does raise, you know, not to be heartless or anything, that the Berserk man and manga, is it going to continue? Will it just slip away? That apparently... Now, there's a lot of questions still raised around this, so nothing's really confirmed at this point, but they have posted a issue of Young Animal magazine saying that they will be publishing in their 18th issue, the 364th chapter of Berserk. Now, yes, the question mark comes up here. Was this stuff that was already created and they just finalized it, waited, you know, let it have some time, and now they're publishing it? Or is this an indication that a roadmap is already there and that they will continue it? We don't know yet. It could be his... And this is one of those really troubling things, is we don't really know him as a person. We don't know... He obviously had a team that was working with him. We don't know if he wanted them to continue on his manga and finish it. We don't know if he had a roadmap already placed out for everything. We don't know if he already completed drawing everything and maybe it's just waiting to be published. But this is an indication that something was completed or they finished it. And it is going to be a huge question. Will it continue on, or if this is going to be it? If this is like the final one that was finished before his unfortunate passing. So, but... That's the news, though. That's something people can possibly look forward to if they were looking to see where this continues on to. So, interesting stuff. Either way. No Guns Life manga is set to end in September, on September 18th. So, if you're a fan of that manga, see it come to a conclusion here soon. And then, finally, we have Yen Press licenses. We have cross-dressing villainous Sylvie manga. Minami Nanami Wants to Shrine manga, The Fiancé's Chosen by the Ring manga, The Wolf Never Sleeps manga, Run on Your New Legs manga, Catch These Hands manga, cannot believe they chose that English title, Mizuno Chayama manga, The Holy Grail of Eris light novel, The Vexations of a Shut-In Vampire Princess light novel, Warlords of Sigrifa. There you go. Warlords of Sigrifa, Rusalk light novel. Jose the Tiger and the Fish novel. Bungo Stray Dogs, Woof manga. And Goblin Slayer tabletop role-playing game book. So, good stuff there. Good stuff there. And that's it. That's all the news that we have. It's everything. That's it. Call it quits. We're done. Put a fork in it. Why does my thing not scroll? So yeah, next bit we have is our community questions. So for those that don't know, if you go to otakuspare.com, at the top there, there's a contact us button. You can put your questions in there. You can email andrew@otakuspare.com, and you can go to the forums at otakuspare.com at the top there, click on the link and go to the Anime Cast questions thread, and you can post your questions there. Like many of these great people did, and we thank them for sending in your questions so that we can answer them on here and have fun discussions. That's all it's about. But yeah, our first one is from Anonymous. They said, "Don't tell what my name is. Just say I'm Anonymous. I don't want anybody to know that I'm associated with you dirty people."
Am I dirty?
I don't know. This might be a thing that will... I guess I can talk about it. It's not that big of a deal, but wanted to suggest a topic for a podcast. It says, who's the better insert name? For example, who do you like better? Toru from Fruits Baskets or Toru from Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, Ren from Yuru Camp or New Game, Subaru from Roommates is a Cat or ReZero. You can make it binary or multiple choice for the discussion. Just found your podcast and went, yeah, that'd be a cool concept. I might put that in my docket of possibilities there. But what we can still do with your question now is answer those great questions, which is, who is better, Toru from Fruits Basket or Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid? I'm sorry, as much as I love you, Toru from Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, I don't know that you can beat... I mean, it's a simple case of how much time and development we have with Toru from Fruits Basket. It's one of those unfortunate things. I love to death Toru from Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, but... Toru Honda just has so much development. We've been through so much. She's literally like a childhood friend to us all because we went through, 100 plus episodes, depending on, when you started watching it. That, yeah, she's kind of takes the cake there. So
pretty much.
Ren from Yuru Camp or New Game. I'm going to add Ren Tasaka from Fate series.
Which one is?
She wins.
go to the New Game so I can see her picture. Oh, I think Yuru Camp.
I think I just got to go to Yuru Camp. I just didn't really have much connection with Ren from New Game, honestly. She wasn't really that significant to me, but that's the unfortunate. You have to choose one. Subaru from My Roommate is a Cat or ReZero. As much as people hate him, I'm going to say ReZero. Sorry. It's just an easy one for me.
I'm going to go with the Cat, so.
Yeah. Was it the Cat with Subaru?
No,
or was the guy?
It's the guy that was in there.
Yeah, he was dumb.
He had one episode of something. He had issues.
Yeah, bleh. Dude doesn't even know what's in front of him. Cute chick that likes him and he doesn't care.
The same argument could be made for Subaru from...
He's been through some stuff. Again, I'm like one of the rare people that like... gives the benefit of doubt to people like him, like Shinji from Evangelion. It's like if you people went through half the stuff that these people go through, you'd be pissed and whiny too. So
I didn't say Subaru was a bad guy. I'm just saying
he's been through some stuff, man. He's saved so many cute girls.
Yeah,
just think about it. He's failed miserably several times.
He's even saved catboys. I mean, what? You know?
He could have given up on so many of those cute girls that y'all love. Byakko could be dead, but no, he decided to restart just so he can save her for you. Just think about it. He's like the ultimate bro. Just, again, he fails miserably many times.
He got to keep my Byakko, and I don't like him because of that.
It's good stuff. She's going to be around a lot more. She might be actually in front of the camera for more than 2 seconds to, before she kicks him out of the room. Thanks, Anonymous, for your suggestion there. Like I said, I'll put that in the docket. That's definitely a fun idea for a game. There's several ideas I have for maybe possibly games that we can set up. And, I guess it's going to be one of those things where I set it up and then Chris doesn't know what's in it because otherwise he'll know the answers. So he can't be a part of setting it up. I'll just grill Chris and his terrible memory that we both have. I don't think I've ever had to say this name on the podcast before, and I don't know how I'm going to say it. Deflin Squirrel. I guess it's Deflying Squirrel.
I'm pretty sure that's
what seems like what it's going. It's got a squirrel as the avatar, so I'm guessing it's Deflying Squirrel. I've never actually had, again, have to phonetically say it out loud. But anyways, says Andrew called for more questions or discussion questions. So here's hopefully some fun ones.
Hey, how come nobody acknowledges I call for questions? I call for questions all the time. I mean, I'm calling for questions right now.
Good. You get it out your system?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to say
make sure.
Yeah.
Pick any of these if you like them. One, so pretend you are MC for an anime and crossing the street and get hit by the infamous truck-kun. Which isekai world would you want to wake up in? I think we talked about this a couple podcasts ago. I think at the time we were talking, I was killing slimes for 300 years and maxed out my level. And I'm like, yeah, that's technically probably the, like, cause it's like, yeah, I would love to be in ReZero so that I can be with Rem. I'd love to be in this world because this character's great. There's all these waifus in all these other worlds. Grimgar, Fantasy Nash, I mean, love the characters there. But I don't know that I want to experience that world. The world themselves suck. And 300 years slime was like one of those rare ones of like, yeah, I don't think I'd be in harm's way that much in that scenario.
Yeah. Slime's world was perfect because you get to live forever, you get to stay forever young, and you get just a harem of beautiful girls.
Yeah, yeah.
However, when you stop and think about it, ReZero, while yeah, you get the good girl or the cute girls, that's a lot of freaking pain. And I am very, very, very averse to pain.
there you go. that was technically a full dive VR game, wasn't isekai, but yeah, you're maxed out defense because I don't want to feel pain. Girl. Yeah.
it was that, and I think my choice was the slime rancher boy, which the blessed by the gods or something like that.
Yeah, you brought that one too. I remember that one. That was that technically had its own threats there, but it was very much so laid back in that regard as well. You technically did have the danger of dying from inhaling toxic fumes from sewage in the town. So there is dangers there.
Right.
You could have died. You could have died. But no, yeah, like I said, I do like the idea of things like ReZero, things like, you know, I guess technically things like, you know, Another World of My Smartphones is technically another one that's kind of laid back. But there's a lot of them that even if they do seem like they're okay, you're technically going into a time period where I don't know if they technically address it, but a lot of them, you're in worlds that are more like fantasy medieval times where, again, things aren't as readily available, like medications and stuff. Like I joked about the fact that in the scenario of Soul Must Spider, So What, I was addressing the fact that I didn't like how the anime adaptation portrayed the students, in that they came there and they were still acting like children even though they grew up another lifetime to their teenage years, and if they were still acting like a bunch of teenagers. And not only that, but they were growing up now in the second world in a setting that was much more harsh. That, you know, again, they don't have modern medications and stuff that we have and modern entertainments that we have that normally would keep you from maturing faster. So it is one of those things where, yeah, even situations where it doesn't seem like at face value it's a tough life, there's still even tough lives in those situations. So I just stick with something that's simple and bubbly and fun. Just pick random isekai cute girls doing cute things, and I'll go with that one.
Well, that's just like slime. While I would love the idea of taking on the whole slime thing, I don't know.
It's a lot of responsibilities there, too.
Well, I think he goes probably through a lot of crap being the slime, but he does have a lot of abilities that kind of block the pain. So.
Well, that was the thing. Like, we know him, you know, later on when he's built himself up, but he technically in the early first episode, he's going through a lot of crap to build himself up. That's like Soul Must Spider, So What? She technically gets OP at some point, but she went through a lot of crap early on. I don't want to be just a commoner spider and have to build myself up through, yeah, nearly dying so many times. I mean, that was a point in her story at some point. She gets angry at her rival dragon because he gave up. And she's tick because she never gave up, even though she nearly died so many times. So, you can kind of feel her frustration there. If anything, that show did some good moments there. So, second question says, out of all the harem anime, which MC do you guys think ended up with the best harem? Ooh, what was it? What the heck was his name? It was the one that had the mage guy that was the teacher of like a full classroom of like so many girls. I wouldn't say anybody in that particular harem was an interest to me, but the dude had a lot of chicks around him.
Nagi.
Yeah, Negima.
Negima. Yeah, he probably has the fullest harem. Best harem, that's a tough one. I'd almost say, I have to almost give it to Subaru.
Subaru is like the easiest one for me to recall here recently. I had a lot of, in the olden days when there was a lot of harem animes that I really enjoyed, like Love Hina and stuff like that. Love Hina had a solid cast in that one. This sucks because it's always one of those ones where I just know I'm forgetting something. My anime list. I don't know why I'm going to my anime list. I have a new list now.
But at the same time, I'm being honest when I say Subaru, mostly because is it because their his harem is the best built, most fully fleshed out. Each character is very fleshed out. It's frustrating because of the fact that I don't know, because there's been a lot of harems where I just adore all of the characters, but when it comes down to it, Subaru is kind of one of the more fickle as far as a harem. I hesitate to even call it a harem, mostly because of the fact that he's so freaking stuck on that Emilia. It's like, even if the other love interests kind of even acknowledge it as a love interest, even they are kind of like, eh. I don't know. That's a weird one.
Clannad, solid girls in that one. That's true. Honestly, one I've always enjoyed. And that's one of those things where, I guess technically you can call it harem. It's one of those things where you kind of run into a lot of harems where they're just all over the main protagonist. And there's other ones where it has the harem tendencies there because it's based off of something that is a choose your girl type visual novel. And so it's not as apparent because they're not clamoring over him. Whereas, you do have some other harems where literally every 2 seconds they're all fighting over him and glomping all over him. And he acts like a stupid ditherer that you want to punch. Oh my gosh, Monogatari series. Talk about a dysfunctional group of harem members. We can go with that one. I mean, the thing with the Monogatari series is I wasn't as big on some of the girls as other people was. It's one of those types of harems where there's so much kind of happening with the characters that it kind of helps you decide if they're characters that you really stick to or not. I don't know how to really explain that, but yeah, that's another fun one. But yeah, Clannad's pretty up there. Like Kotomi, Tomoyo, Nagisa. I mean, there's a lot of really good girls in that one.
I do have a soft spot for the No Game No Life cast, but I would hesitate to even call that one a harem, but it technically is.
Yeah, it's like at least as far as we've gotten, at least the adaptation has gotten. I don't know if I'd really put that one in there, but
yeah,
there's some solid girls in there at least. I really did like the was she was a princess or something like that? She was a huge kick. I loved her to death. What do you think about Danmachi? Danmachi's got some solid girls.
I do like a lot of the girls in there.
Danmachi's got some real solid girls in there. Hestia, Bestia. Sorry. I know that's going to probably upset some people. Don't care much for the other girl. The sword maiden chick wasn't my cup of tea. Overlord! Man! That's some crazy girls in that one.
No, there's only one that I really like.
Yeah, I'm the same. I only have really one that I really truly care about.
I do like the
twins were good too.
There is a few of them in there that I do like. It's so funny because it's by trying to kind of focus on one. The other ones kind of fall to the wayside. But yeah, there, I do like the other girl. God, why can I not?
Quintessential quintuplets.
But I like her more out of aesthetic. She's kind of a weird character when it comes down to it. But I do like the vampire girl.
Yeah, she was the best. Quintessential quintuplets. That's a hard one for me because technically four of the girls Nisekoi. Are really solid. Oh,
I forgot about Nisekoi.
Four girls in Quintessential Quintuplets are solid. Like, granted, technically, sorry, Miku, best girl. Three other girls were good. Like, I like Yotsuba. I liked, like I said, I think a good portion of them I do like. Unfortunately, there's only one. Technically only one of the girls is one that I didn't really like. So that's a really solid group there.
But yeah. They were very, very well fleshed out as well, too, so.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job on those ones, definitely. Nisekoi, I can't follow you. I have not watched it, so.
I do. But there's, when it comes down to it, it's, A lot of that comes down to I have a really, really big love for one character in there. And I do love the other girls, but that one girl I do really love.
I don't know. With that said, I don't know. I have a long time rose tinted goggles love for the classic Clannad girls. So, but like I said, Quintessential Quintuplets is pretty up there. I don't know, like, even with ReZero, I don't know that I really want to call that a harem. We've got a lot of solid girls around him, but they're not, like, after him. So, because we always dictate harem as being three or more girls that are actively pursuing the main character. And with that one, literally, we only have technically one character actively pursuing Subaru. I mean, technically, yes, here in the recent season, we do get it more with Amelia. She technically is acknowledging him, but that's still only two. What else do you get? I mean, yeah, you have the harem twinge and the idea of, you know, having characters like Felix and stuff doting on him every now and then.
Yeah, and that's why.
Acknowledging him, but not they're not actively pursuing him. So and it's hard to claim it as a harem. It's got harem twinges, though.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about when I was bringing it up. It's like, yes, technically not a harem. Even like you were saying, even Amelia didn't acknowledge him until this season. Now we've got, in theory, you've got Byakko is technically an interest now. Technically, a character that I don't want to spoil is technically showing, but even she is kind of in this kind of weird gray area where she's not really pursuing him. She's actually already called for somebody else. Then you go to one character who has flat out revealed that she has no interest in him, which takes her out of the running. So yeah, it's been really weird how this season has kind of shaken a lot of things up as far as your preconceived notions.
Okay, let me get this one out of the way real quickly because it's dropped in my head. What do you think about Little Busters?
Not a harem.
He's got technically three girls that were of interest in that show. The bookworm, the one that is your favorite girl. You have the main girl that he ends up getting with towards the later part of it. Technically a harem. It's got harem elements. Like I said, it's similar to Clannad in the idea that it's technically based off a visual novel where you select which girl, but the anime adaptation makes it to where they pursue them all in order to get their story in there. So it's like I said, it's similar to Clannad in that regard. So,
well, I do love, what, three characters in that show?
I know that you were big on the bookworm girl for the longest time. I really like the main girl, the sister of the guy. I forget her name is. Rin? Is it Rin? Rin or something like that? Anyways, I don't know. Your favorite Monster Musume or Monster type girl's harem. I can't really acknowledge as a harem because it's not really necessary, but I like the characters in it more, which was the interview with Monster Girls. But again, I don't think it's technically a harem because they're his teacher and they're very young. But so Monster Musume versus the Monster Girl Doctor versus the, what was that other one? The Centaur Life? I'd probably go Monster Musume.
I'd go Doctor.
I didn't really get much out of the Doctor's characters. I mean, I kind of liked the mermaid girl. She was kind of cute, but, like, yeah, again, usually the Lamia and Spider and Harpies and all that kind of stuff. I didn't really... didn't really connect with those characters as much. Like the Blob Girl and
Monster Musume.
Centaur Monster Musume was kind of cute.
My problem when it comes to the characters are technically, I think that they're both around the same as far as cuteness. I just Monster Musume was too focused on its freaking fetishes than the Doctor was. Now that doesn't make the Doctor much better. I mean, it wasn't that much better. It's just
it was less obvious about the fetishes in this Monster Girl Doctor. I like the Harpy Girl in Monster Musume a lot, though. So
that's true. I did adore the Harpy.
I don't know. I think that's like all the ones that are decently high in my list scoring, just to keep an eye on. But that's the unfortunate thing, because a lot of harems kind of don't really have a lot of staying
Black
power.
Bullet. I did like Black Bullet a lot.
Yeah, Black Bullet was solid. Again, there's a lot of more younger characters, so it's more difficult for me to really acknowledge. But it's like everything else, I'm probably missing a really good one. Kiss X Sis technically had harem status at some point, and those girls are really cute. Let's see, next one. Y'all have mentioned some favorite seiyus in the past that will draw you into watch anime, like Kenjo Suda, I believe was one. Yep, was one. Is there any seiyus that have the opposite effect? Like, would you consider not wanting to watch an anime if they are slated to voice a main character? That's a dang good question. Oh, I just joked about Ichiya. But even still, when I listen to him on Ascendance of Bookworm, it's like I totally like him. I don't know. I don't know if there's a character that has been in a show where I'm like, oh, this voice. I hate this voice. I know that the quality of how they record bugs me. I've had that. I mean, especially with it's disgusting to call this love, Koikimo. The way that they recorded the actual seiyus. And I would at some time think that it was because I didn't like the voices themselves, but I actually thought they were very natural sounding voices. It's just the way that they recorded were not good. We've mentioned it before. There's a lot of people that do have problems with the nasally nature of, what was her name? Kokomi? What was her name? It's Ko something from Little Busters. But I don't think that I have had a problem with her voice. There's one that I'm thinking, it's like literally in the back of my head, that I think was not that, like, I actually did not like the seiyuu for, the main girl in Sugumomo. She's currently, Jahi-sama and Jahi-sama will not be defeated. I actually didn't like her at first. Mm-hmm. I thought she was really irritating. She was super... just very in a throat. Like, her voice was very in her throat. Like, she just very loud, and her voice was so in her throat, and it's very raspy. And I honestly did not like her at first, but she grew on me because I don't know what it is. It's almost as if that voice somehow attaches itself to the personality. And like I said, when I talked about Jahi-sama will not be defeated, it's like, that's so her. Like, this is her role. If there's ever a character that is... you know, delusions of grandeur, high and mighty, I'm more powerful than you, listen to me, a little bit too brash in how she acts, that's her character. Perfect.
I was going to bring up something similar, where you get kind of the... if you have a character who you really like, and that's what one of the things that will make a voice stand out. Like, we mentioned Kenjo Arasuda a lot, and he goes from character to character. At first, we kept bringing up I had his name a second ago, Nicholas. Mm-hmm. We kept bringing up Nicholas and how that voice actor made such an impression on us that it just kept going from show to show. You'd almost have to have the exact opposite, where you have a character that you hate so much.
Ichiya.
But we've been able to separate.
Obviously, because I, like you mentioned, I think if you said, who does this voice remind you of when we were watching Ascendance Bookworm, I probably went, oh, it's Ichiya. But it just never, we never really thought about it. It's like, you're just watching it. He's literally narrating the entire show, not just his role as this this guy in the church, he was narrating the show. Like, every time an episode opened up, he was narrating mm-hmm. it. He opened the show. But you never really went... You never heard him say men.
If he didn't say men, you would have never thought of it.
Make sure to get your men. He probably said it during that last season, too, because he was literally heading a group of troops.
So it's one of those funny things. You almost have to have the exact... I think Beetlejuice is one of those that I had a hard time separating him from Beetlejuice for a while.
That is true. I really did not like... And it's Kirito's voice.
Yeah.
And I literally, and that's the honest thing. I don't hate Kirito's voice or his seiyuu. I will admit I'm tired of his voice. Like mm-hmm. And it's so funny that I still hear Aoyuki like everywhere right now. She's literally in like 10 shows a season, which really does concern me. But, and I wonder at some point if I'll get fatigued, but I never got fatigue of Ryukijimiya. She was like around all the time back in the day, like every season had a tsundere show. But for some reason, I think Kirito, I'm getting tired of. Like, every time I hear him, and it's not just that, it's like just the fact that he's always fulfilling the same role.
Yeah.
He never really stretches out and do other things. And he's always the main protagonist of a power fantasy. So I don't hate him. And not when I see him on the list do I go, I don't want to watch this show anymore. It's just I am kind of fatigued with him.
And it is one of those funny things. It's like you'd almost have to do something like that. And it's really weird to think about it. When, like Aoyuki, she came out of the gate with, like we were mentioning earlier with Clementine, it was one of those, she stood out like a sore thumb. And then after that, then we started to kind of, she started filling in certain roles. Like
Tepes knocked it out of the park, and then she came in with Tanya. It was like, Tanya. It was boom, boom, boom.
And so she just really mainstayed her way into our voice actresses to look out for. So it's interesting.
I will say, and this is no disrespect to her because she's technically a legend, the seiyuu for Goku in the original Japanese dub. Yeah, it's a hard one to get into. Like I at some point, like we watched Dragon Ball Z when it was dubbed a long time ago on television. We didn't really technically consider the idea of a just a regular, the original Japanese version. And then when I finally did watch it, I was like, holy crap, this voice. This is a very obnoxious Goku. Again, I give her a massive amount of respect for how long she's done that character and not blown out her voice. But still, I don't know if it's because I'm so used to the new, I'm so used to the English dub that I can't go back. But I have tried, and I have enjoyed a lot of the Japanese seiyuus, but I can't get over Goku.
Goku is the only one that I have a really hard time with.
It's another very throat character. Again, so I don't know why she hasn't blown her throat out. She's a very throaty character, and then you have her getting very energetic with all the power-ups. Like, I can't do it. I literally cannot do it. So
there you go. There's your answer. There's Goku's one character that we have a very hard time with, and that
original
is Goku.
Voice. Yeah. So, good question though. That was one that that's actually a very good question. I definitely will probably keep out an ear out for if I ever run into that situation again. I want to say there's one other one that somewhere it was like a character that was I want to say it was a side harem character that I just didn't really care much for their voice, but I cannot. I want to keep saying it was from one of the characters in, what was that called? It was the one where the guy went to a school, an all-girls school, and like he was from a very like muscly family.
Oh,
they had the one girl that would take her clothes off whenever she went into like her super brainy mode.
I know exactly which one you're talking about, and I can't think.
Showman Sample.
I was wanting to say Showbiz, and I know
I kept thinking of that one too, Shobi. I want to say there was a character in there that I didn't care for, but I don't know. I can't place it. So, like I said, I'll keep an ear out. There's got to be some more in there, but that's a fun question. Very interesting idea there. Deflying Squirrel, if that really is your name. Let's see. I think I had a question down here that I technically don't want to let sit because it's technically relevant. By the time I get to it, I'm probably gonna be like, oh, by the way, he means this. It was from our friend Bacon Chips, I think. See here. The old Bacon Chips says, I'm Sir Bacon Chips, and to clarify the tale about the old man that said snake to me. So we get a conclusion to this epic trilogy of information here. That happened about 13 years, possibly even later, when I was in elementary school. And now I'm nearly 20s. I'm near in my early 20s. I was sitting next to the restroom waiting. This is getting worse. Do I need to read the rest of this out loud? Waiting on my mom at the mall, and the man walked out of the men's rest. This is good. I don't know if I should keep reading this. With the toy snake. Okay. Walked out of the restroom with the toy snake. I very vividly remember him. He was an older gentleman and walked very slowly and put the snake near my eyes and said, snake. You should have implied how he said it. I know that we talked about that last time. You should have told me how he actually said it and then walked away. That pretty much is all that happened. I'm not really affected by it. You said you were affected by it last time. I'm not even afraid of snakes. Why did you even bring it up? I guess you technically said it was an awkward. You said, no, it said that it affects you to this day. You said that last time. I'm going to go back and read that. My family even had a pet snake at one point. It's more of an inside joke that me and my others have, and now I shared it with the entire world. Yes, all 20-plus thousand people have heard you talk about your thing with snakes. Here's my question. What are some of your most memorable dreams? My most memorable ones that I had is that a human-sized owl had two lightsabers and hunted me and my brother down and killed both of us.
I'm pretty sure that what this...
What is wrong with you, dude?
I'm thinking that what this is he is afraid of him and his brother gaining too much wisdom with...
Are you trying to interpret
dangerous,
his dream?
Yeah, with dangerous lightsabers. And now, so he doesn't like knowledge either, because not the lightsaber is futuristic knowledge, and the human-sized owl is massive amounts of wisdom. So he just wants to be dumb for his entire life.
What is one thing that owls can eat and actually hunt?
Snakes.
There you go. There's a connection here. Because you had this experience with the snake, the owl is in your dream not trying to kill you. And that's not really what happens in the dream. You theoretically die, but the idea is that he's trying to kill your fear of snakes. He's saying, I can protect you because I eat the snakes. I don't know why he has two lightsabers.
And chops them up with lightsabers. He chops the snakes up with lightsabers and feeds them to you so that you can overcome your...
Yeah, that's true. You don't have to cut it yourself. There you go. I don't know. I used to have a lot of dreams back in the day that were really... They felt like they had a lot of meaning to them. But that's a terrible question, because who the hell remembers their dreams?
I, for whatever reason, had this weird fear that there was a massive shadow in my room that was trying to kill me for whatever daggum reason. That was my biggest fear when I was a kid. I don't know.
It was in your dream? What does it have to do with the dream?
It's in that weird area where it's between your dream and your sleep. Or
I have a good story. Thank you. You just remind me of a really good story. People probably... It's funny, but it's also sad at the same time. It's one of those kinds of stories. You laugh at it now because of how stupid it was. So way, way back in the day, I had a Datsun. Very cute little Datsun. And at some point, I had a dream where we were at our grandma's house, and they had like this big living room, had two doorways, one went to the kitchen, this other one went to like where the bedrooms were in the bathroom, and then they had this big old huge fireplace. It was a pretty sizable living room, at least to my old younger self that was smaller. It's like one of those things where you always imagine yourself like these rooms were really huge, but it's because yourself was younger, so mm-hmm. You're smaller comparative. But anyways, so... In this dream, I'm at my grandma's house, and we're just kind of sitting and having fun. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, this crazy, like, I don't know, like a worgen, like, bestial thing shows up and rushes me. And it scared the crap out of me. And it was one of those dreams where you know it's a dream. And so you scream as loud as you can. and you try to get yourself out of it, and you would wake up, and it was one of those moments where I was so tired, I would know that I was waking up, but I would just fall back asleep. And the thing was, and it would go back to the same spot in the same stupid room, and I would get attacked by another of the same thing. It was like it was waiting for me, and it would come out of the hallway and come after me again. And I would scream, and I would wake up, and then I'd fall back asleep, and then I would look around, and it was like one of those crazy dreams where you knew you were kept going into it, and you kept going into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think eventually I got to the point where
my shadow that was in my room that was trying to kill me.
I literally had to get up. And that wasn't the dream I was actually thinking of when I said that. It's kind of sad. The dog story. I don't know why I thought of that one when I was thinking of this one. The dog story was I had this Dachshund, and I think it was just after we watched People Under the Stairs or something.
Oh, gosh.
It was the one that had him on the walls and crap?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a dream where I don't know exactly
the speak no evil, hear no evil, see no evil.
I don't know exactly how the dream itself played out. I just know at some point, it had something to do with that, and I knew things were in walls. And I think I opened up like a small closet that was under some stairways, and this like weird creature thing jumped out at me and was licking me in the face. And in the dream, it was almost as if it was licking my oxygen out of me, and I could not breathe, and I was gasping for air, and it kept licking my face. And I
that
took
was
my
cat's
hand.
Eye. I want to say it was cat's eye.
I took my hand and I smacked this thing that was hitting me.
Oh.
And I instantly, the moment I hit it, I woke up to like a yelp. I'd literally slapped my dog off of my face because my dog was licking me in the face. And in my dream, I was suffocating from this thing licking my face. So it was like one of those, so funny to think back on it, like how dumb that transition happened between dream and, because obviously what happens to you in reality while you're dreaming sometimes affects what you're experiencing in a dream. And my dog licking me in the face was making me experience this thing trying to kill me by licking my face. Yeah, I felt so bad because I just literally slapped this Dachshund like really hard to get him off of me. I don't know how I hit him. I just like in my dream, I literally was like, bam. But yeah, it was enough to startle my dog and knock him off of me. So crazy. I miss that poor little dog. Cute little dog. So yeah, that's some crazy dreams right there. Hope that's funny to you, bacon chips. Hope you enjoy those funny dreams. Other than that, I don't know. I can't really think of many other dreams. I mean, I've had some where some of them were more kind of impactful just because they kind of remind you of older days. I always kind of enjoy those dreams, but for the most part, don't really remember. Don't remember any of them. So, yeah. So, yeah, that's it. That's all the questions we have time for this time. Hope you guys enjoyed this run-through of the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you because it's important to us. And thanks, as always, to all of our podcasts. Thank you, Anonymous, who we will not mention your name because you don't want to be associated with us. Appreciate your question. The Flying Squirrel, and as usual, Bacon Chips. Definitely appreciate the question. If Bacon Chips really is your real name. You snake fearer, you owl Jedi and master. But yeah, hope you guys enjoy this episode. As always, we thank everybody for their support through telling other people about us. That always does help us out no matter what, even if you can't support us through monetary values like Patreon, which those people that do support us through Patreon, we thank you for your continued support of us. We definitely appreciate it. And those that subscribe to our actual YouTube channel and check out my videos there, that supports us as well. Thank everybody for checking us out there. I think we recently hit 4,200 subscribers. Definitely, again, appreciate that. But yeah, as always, thank you all for listening. We hope you all enjoyed, and y'all take care.
Oss.